welcome to Cross Currents. I'm Carolyn Heldman. Coming up on today's show, Aspen Words. Executive Director Adrian Brodeur is here, along with Jamie Kravitz, the Managing Director of Aspen Words. Winter Words has begun. Azar Nafisi was the first guest. We'll also discuss Summer Words, their summer residency program, and a new literary prize that Aspen Words just announced. I asked Adrian to tell us about the first guest of Winter Words.
We just had Azar Nafisi here on Tuesday night, so that one is behind us. And next up, maybe you should talk about Kevin Fidarko and Pete McBride.
Thrilled to have those two here in town. They stopped through town briefly last spring to talk a little bit about their Grand Canyon hike, but they'll be talking a bit more about, since that time, they've finished the through hike of the Grand Canyon, and they're going to talk about Kevin's book, The Emerald Mile, and then Pete's going to have photos, and so it's an exciting kind of local connection.
Take on a different kind of meaning.
I think definitely so, because I think one of the big things they want to talk about are some of the environmental and political threats on the canyon, so it'll be interesting to see how that segues into politics as they are currently.
And I think on that note, almost every one of these speakers, it will resonate with, you know, the new climate of our time. Azar Nafisi really spoke to the meaning of literature in a robust democracy and its purpose. And I think it was a very meaningful launch. And I think the rest of the season is going to have a lot of reflections on that same topic. After the Pete McBride, Kevin Fidarko event, we're going to have Yah Jesse here. She's the author of the debut novel, Homegoing. It was just announced that it won the best debut in any genre for the National Book Critics Circle Award.
Wow.
And it's an astonishing, astonishing book where every chapter takes on the next generation over eight or nine, no more, generations.
Tell me about when you programmed this.
I think what's interesting about our programs is how they all interconnect. And so, you know, in terms of when Winter Words started, we also have this prize that we're newly launching. So as we were conceiving of Winter Words, we were having our literary prize in mind. And so a lot of these speakers, as Jamie just talked about with Kevin Fidarko, are folded into that notion of books that have a bigger purpose on some level. We always start thinking about Winter Words probably around a year before Winter Words actually begins and start thinking about what books are coming out, which ones are really important, which authors we're most excited about. We talk to the community, we talk to each other, we talk to our board.
I was going to add to that. So I think an example, last year at this time, we confirmed Adam Gopnik. He couldn't come last year. We were able to land on a date for this year. In the in-between, of course, he's had all of this great visible political writing happening, which just happens to be perfect. I mean, Adam Gopnik obviously has a long, fabulous career to highlight at any point at Winter Words. But then kind of the last piece to come together was our last event, the debut authors, who were all former Summer Words students. So to speak to what Adrian's saying, you know, it kind of builds. At some point, we're thinking, what's this last slot going to be? What have we got so far? And we're looking at these debut novels coming out in the last year or so,
exactly,
and seeing the response to them, realizing how we could pair them all together to talk about that experience going from being fellowship students at Summer Words to book deals to publishing.
And that's what I meant before by our programs kind of working in sync with one another, because I think a lot of people think a book happens alone in a room by a brilliant author. And to some extent that's true, but to bring a book into the world, it takes the devotion of many, many people and a complicated literary network of connections. And we consider Aspen Words sort of, you know, a rung on that ladder or a piece of that overall puzzle. And so, you know, Aspen Summer Words, that's where all sorts of, you know, young, not in terms of year, but newer writers come to test their chops, to be mentored by great writers. The Emerging Writing Fellows, I mean, these are students nominated from all different people in the literary world, the publishing world, the MFA programs, so on. It's a very competitive fellowship. They come, they get to have this great experience at Summer Words. Some of them go on to go into our residency program, which is just this beautiful month-long residency in Woody Creek where they can actually drill down and complete a novel. They can participate in our editing room where we match them with New York editors who can help them prepare it to go out into the world. And this is what, you know, not only Aspen Words, but what literary organizations are seeking to do all over the country. And everyone has a little piece of this. And, you know, so Winter Words, if we're celebrating famous writers at Winter Words, and obviously with the prize, we're hoping to celebrate writers further. But I think we support them, support writers to the best of our ability at almost every stage of their development.
Tell me more about the summer residency program.
From May through the end of October, we run a residency in partnership with the Caddo Shaw Foundation. And so up in Woody Creek, Issa Caddo Shaw and Daniel Shaw have so generously donated this just fabulous apartment for writers to write for a month at a time. And, you know, Hannah Tinty, we were saying earlier, she was one of those writers in residence.
And it's just, honestly, on some level, I think it is the biggest single gift we give writers. I mean, all of our programs, I think, do as much for the writers as they do for us. But, you know, in this case, they're not having to speak to an audience at Pepke or teach students. I mean, they're there for the peace and quiet and, you know, the step away from the world that you get in a residency. And people like Brad Watson, whose Miss Jane was a finalist for the National Book Award, or Adam Hazlett, Imagine Me Gone, staggeringly beautiful work has been written there. And each of these writers, the letters we've received about that, that Issa's received, Issa and Daniel, about the gift that this program gives to writers, it's extraordinary.
In the May and October events, we can go to the schools because school's in session, but everybody gives one talk at Hooch in town.
And that's just such an intimate, different experience than our other public events, because people are, A, they're talking to someone who's in the thick of it. Those writers are reading raw material, not, you know, here's my beautiful published book. So it's a little grittier and it's much more intimate. And, you know, they're just talking as close as the three of us are to each other.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. On today's show, Aspen Words. Adrienne Brodeur is the executive director. Jamie Kravitz is the managing director. Aspen Words began in 1976 with what started as a two-week conference focused entirely on poetry, which blossomed into a month-long event encompassing fiction, nonfiction, poetry, playwriting, and screenwriting. I'm not a political organization. You're not a partisan organization. I imagine that the way you formed this and the overarching thematic guidelines that you used in order to have this program rolled out to summer into winter, vice versa, takes on new meaning in this moment that we find ourselves in.
We're seeking writers who had books that matter. You know, they were. I mean, I think no matter what, we're always looking in the Winter Words lineup, books that feel, and writers who feel of the moment. I think it would have still felt incredibly powerful to have them in a different turn of events. But as it is, it has. It's taken on a different meaning. Yeah, we're not a political organization. I think as part of the Aspen Institute, we're, you know, a bipartisan organization. But I think, as Azar Nafisi said on Tuesday night, like, artists are there to not be quiet. Artists are there to speak and disrupt and to get us thinking. And so I think at any time that feels uncertain, I think everybody turns to art in some way, and into writing in a way that's a solitary. Reading a book is a solitary experience, and it allows you to really contemplate things on a deeper level, right? All but kind of in your.
And I think also, just to add to what you're saying there, that literature in particular fiction, you know, whether you're the writer or the reader, you're immersing yourself in another world, and you can't read a book without empathizing with those characters, without going outside of yourself. I mean, you can't read Homegoing and not be a part of that world. So the conversation might shift in light of the political environment, but I don't think we're actually selecting authors, nor would we in the future, to respond to the political situation. Because I think the underlying issues that writers are thinking about is kind of where we're trying to put our finger on the pulse of, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And to add to that, I think thinking about what writers are thinking about in a book, you know, to write a book, you're sitting with that material for years, right? So no one writes a book without having some bigger puzzle they're wrestling with, right? Whether it's human nature or it could be something political. But whatever, it's like what motivates people to do what they do. So no matter what, when you're reading fiction, when you're reading it, you're wrestling with the same things the writer was wrestling with in not having a foregone conclusion, right?
And you make me think of Colson Whitehead and the Underground Railroad and that, because apparently that the image that sort of started this book for him was when he was a kid
and
first heard about
right.
the Underground, and he was like, oh, that's real,
right.
You know. And how long did that little seed germinate for,
right?
It's an amazing story.
So what's particularly poignant to me also in this, nothing to do with the politics or the world we find ourselves in, but the kind of instant gratification world and the media coming at us with tweets and that fast, short brand of communication. And you're talking about how long the commitment is for the writer, but it's also on the reader's part mm-hmm. that you're having to dive in and go into these different worlds and really have a discipline to turn away from the world right now that's so fast.
But I think people want to turn away from the world right now. I mean, I've had several conversations recently where lots of us former news junkies have just taken a breath. I think a lot of novels are being.
So.
I think a lot of novels are being read right now. You know, it's what's saving us, right?
Right, but also respite from not just the news itself, but from those short bursts
yes.
of information. Really being able to indulge and luxuriate in long form,
yes,
conversation with your brain.
It's well put.
Some more Winter Words events coming up?
After Kevin Fedarko and Pete McBride and before Ya Jesse, we have these four slam poets in town. And so they'll be here for the first 2 weeks of February in pretty much every school from Aspen to Glenwood Springs, doing poetry workshops with middle school and high school kids. And then it all kind of culminates in a big slam with like 15 kids reading or reciting poetry in the kind of slam format in Carbondale.
Did that start 3 years? When did
that
start?
This is our fourth year doing it.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of grown and deepened each year. This year we have the fourth poet, which is new. She's the
Poet Laureate of Denver?
Mm-hmm. And we're really excited to have Tallulah here and to kind of look at a long-term relationship. The other poets come from Arizona and Albuquerque, and they're amazing, and they've been amazing in the schools for these last 3 years. We're hoping Tallulah can come up more often a little bit and work with some of the kids year-round after this initial spark of excitement has been set. And yeah, just continuing to deepen the programming. And we've started poetry clubs after school. And there's a group in Glenwood that, you know, meets in Carbondale every week. And they're committed. It's exciting.
Do you think poetry speaks to this generation in a unique way?
Right. I don't know. I think back to what we were saying earlier about people turning to art in difficult times. I mean, poetry, I feel like that poetry is one of those things that everybody comes to when they're wrestling with something, I think. Maybe not everybody, but a lot of people turn to. And I think there's a natural fit in some ways with that age group of middle school and high school. You've got a lot of stuff you're processing at that age. And I think, you know, especially in the slam form, there's something that's closer to music in some ways. It's kind of a bridge in that way toward it. What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I was just thinking to myself that I've picked up a few volumes of poetry in the last few months, and you know, you turn to it in your darkest hour. It used to be the solution to breakups, and I guess this is in some form a breakup. But you know, suddenly I'm reading a bit of poetry again. So, you know, I always read poetry, but you know, in that more, I need this right now.
Right.
Where are you, Mary Oliver?
Are you a writer as well, Adrienne?
I am a writer. You know, I've this job, children, parents, all those things. I don't write a lot, but I do. In fact, our programs have inspired us to, for me to, or have inspired me to try to stay much more in touch with it. So I'm writing a bit every day, you know, emphasis on a small amount.
Before we move into summer, can you tell me about the literary prize?
The Aspen Words Literary Prize is starting now. It's 2017 is going to be the inaugural year, which is very exciting for us. It is a prize for a work of fiction that shines a spotlight on a social issue or social, environmental, political, whatever the compelling issues of our time. And it will be a $35,000 annual award. It is a significant award for any writer in light of the current backdrop of what our country and what the world is going through. I think it's lovely timing to be looking at fiction with impact. And I'm just very excited that we're able to do it. And we're working very hard to roll it out well. There's a lot that goes into considering it, but we've lined up a great team of jurors. We've started a selection committee. You know, we're sort of studying all the other prizes and figuring out, or we have a plan on how to do it.
Do you want to share who the jurors are?
Since we are in partnership with the Institute on this, and the prize is really in a way the combination of both of our missions. So it's very exciting for us to be doing it with them. And so when we were sort of considering how we would be selecting our jurors, we thought we would like to have someone who understood the Institute's mission very well, someone who understood Aspen Words' mission very well, and then also have writers who are writing in this field. And as important as the emphasis on the social issue is that the fiction has to be of enduring literary value. So we also selected someone from academia in theory to consider that. So the judges are Stephen Carter, who's a novelist and who is on the Aspen Institute board, advisory board. Jessica Fullerton, who is a longtime Aspen Word supporter and interested party and comes to all of our, she's a librarian and she comes to many of our events and has been a part of our community for years. The writers are Akhil Sharma and Phil Clay and Alondra Nelson, who is a writer as well as a dean at Columbia.
How do submissions happen? Do you just take any work that may come to your desk, or do people have to submit their work for consideration?
So we are considering any work that's been published in the United States during a given year that meets our criteria. So the plan is to have publishing houses, big, small, translated, independent, all sorts of them, be doing the nominating. So right now, between now, the nominations are open starting in February and close at the end of August, because in the cycle of publishing, by then, you know, all those houses will know what's coming out for the rest of the year. And they are, you know, we're in as much communication with all of them. That is our primary goal right now, is to let every publishing house, every literary agent, every editor, every publicist. And that's a lot of the work that I'm doing on the ground in New York right now, is making sure that we're able to communicate well with all those people. And there is a lot of excitement in the publishing world about it.
And when will you announce?
You know, our timeline is not set in stone at this point, but our intention is to have a long list at the end of this year, 2017. That long list will go on to the jury, who will develop a short list, I believe, in early March, and then we will announce in April.
Yeah.
And then that person, that winner, will speak at Aspen Summer Words.
Right.
It's worth saying as well that we received a tremendously generous endowment gift for this prize. So it's been endowed in perpetuity. It's in the most beautiful way, anonymous. And that's how we were able to do this.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. On today's show, Aspen Words. Adrienne Brodeur is the executive director. Jamie Kravitz is the managing director. Aspen Words began in 1976 with what started as a two-week conference focused entirely on poetry, which blossomed into a month-long event encompassing fiction, nonfiction, poetry, playwriting, and screenwriting. Summer Words, sort of your signature.
Summer Words, honestly, it's just a blast. We bring all these fantastic writers out to teach. We go to great lengths to find not only tremendously talented authors, but authors who are really giving teachers, because, you know, that's the purpose of all of it, allowing the space for mentorship between budding writers and experienced writers. We bring out a team of publishing experts, agents, and editors. We have conversations throughout the week. So there are morning sessions that are workshops where you're in a group of people with your teacher. There are meetings in midday with the editors and the agents who you get exposed to your work and give you advice. You know, knock wood, every once in a while, at least a few each summer, someone gets picked up by an agent. We've had some really wonderful success stories there. And then the afternoons and evenings are filled with conversations and panels where the writers are talking about craft and their techniques and everything from how to avoid block to just how they get through it each day, you know. But it's really a magical time. And I will say that before I worked here, I came out as an editor for Houghton Mifflin. I was like, wow. I mean, it's really, I've been to a lot of conferences, writing conferences in my day, and it is extraordinary. And it is so well run. And I totally give Jamie and the rest of our team credit for that because I am not here most of the time. But it is really uniquely, beautifully run.
Registration just opened, didn't it?
Just opened, yes. And so our deadline is end of February. We just accepted the last of the Emerging Writer Fellowship nominations. So
we had 180 nominations this year.
For 10 spots.
10% from last year. Oh. So the other thing that's really been lovely that's happening, and this again is how all these programs engage with one another and engage with the New York publishing community, is that when I first started here, I would go around and people didn't necessarily know much about Aspen Words. And now they're nominating, they are involved, they're nominating their writers for writers in residence periods. I mean, it's exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of the, you know, former faculty from Summer Words, people who've come here to teach, then nominate their students, you know, who they know from other workshops or from schools. You know, it's publishing industry, agents, editors.
And MFA programs, mm-hmm. teachers at universities throughout the country. And people find us in other ways, too.
It sounds like there's some echoes in this program of Aspen Music Festival and schools, alumni who,
right.
who go on to become faculty and world-renowned.
Yeah, it's just on a smaller scale, I guess, right?
But that's the hope, right? You know, that some of our emerging writing fellows will go on to, you know, I'm fully convinced that they will be prize winners, whether of our own or, you know, the Penn Award or some other literary award. These are the shining stars coming through.
This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. On today's show, Aspen Words. Adrienne Brodeur is the executive director. Jamie Kravitz is the managing director. Aspen Words began in 1976 with what started as a two-week conference focused entirely on poetry, which blossomed into a month-long event encompassing fiction, nonfiction, poetry, playwriting, and screenwriting. Do you want to highlight a few of the names or run down the list at all?
We have a great faculty coming. Ben Fountain, who wrote Billy Lynn's Long Halftime Walk, which was, I guess, this fall, you know, the movie came out, Ang Lee. He's just an astonishing writer. And, you know, if this gives hope to all the budding writers out there, I don't think he started writing. He was a lawyer. He left that world, I think, in his 40s. I might be lying. And I actually published his first story as the editor of Zoetrope. And it was such a gorgeous story. And just watching him become the success that he is. And he's so generous and so lovely. George Hodgman, who wrote this quirky, fantastic memoir called Bettyville. He left the world of New York publishing. He was an editor at Houghton Mifflin to go take care of his ailing mother. He said he would be back in 2 weeks. He was going to get her into a nursing home. And, you know, 3 years later, he is fully immersed in writing this book about her life and about small town America. And it's his coming out story. I mean, it's just fantastic. And he's one of these people who's been a writer, been an editor. I mean, he can speak to our students on so many different levels. Danny Shapiro, who has written both novels and memoir, but is really famously working on memoirs these days with Devotion and Still Writing, and is just an astonishing and generous teacher and speaker. Hannah Tinti, you know, we were talking about how it's sort of a network of literary connections. It's not just doing one thing. Hannah Tinti runs One Story Magazine. She launched this beautiful literary magazine that puts out one story in each issue. It's just this little chapbook, and they're beautiful. And she was a writer in residence here. I can't remember what year, maybe 2013 or 14. Her book is going to be published. It's getting a ton of buzz this spring.
Yeah, we learned about her through the residency. I mean, really, you knew her from New York, but we spent more time with her.
Didn't know her.
And realized, oh my gosh, she would be the best teacher. Mm. People would love her. Brought her out for Summer Words and then won it again. Jericho Brown, there's a big industry conference called AWP, Association of Writers and Writing Professionals. And last year, Nicole Stanton from our office and I went out to the conference, and we walk into this room to go see a talk, and there's just like this guy, like rock star, like there's a line winding around the room. Everyone wants to talk to him, and he's smiling and he's like really big gestures. We're like, who is this guy? And then he makes his way up to the stage, and we were mesmerized by him for the next hour. And we saw the same kind of thing. You think, okay, he needs to come here.
Right.
And then that's one of those great things, too, where some of these slam poets who come in February are going to take a workshop with him this summer.
Oh,
so
cool.
It all interconnects in that fun way.
And for instance, Carol DeSanti, who is just a top editor at Viking Penguin, she's been out in the past. She actually took on one of our authors and published that book a year ago, but she's going to be coming to lead our readers retreat, and she's going to be speaking about the Ferrante novels. And I don't know, it all feels very interconnected and supportive.
And all of it's on the website.
Mm-hmm. Yes, at aspenwords.org.
It's a huge gift to the community, to ourselves, to all the writers, everybody, it seems like, benefits from the work that you're all doing. And I thank you for that work.
Thanks.
And thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Carolyn.
Adrienne Brodeur is the executive director of Aspen Words. She's an award-winning editor and published author with more than 15 years of writing, editing, and publishing experience in books as well as magazines. Jamie Kravitz is the managing director for Aspen Words, providing direction and oversight for all of the Aspen Words programs and initiatives. This is Cross Currents on Aspen Public Radio. If you missed the show or would like to hear it again, go to our website, aspenpublicradio.org. Have a great afternoon.